Thanks for joining us for another great message preached live from Hope City Church, Liverpool. For more information about Hope City Church, check out our website at www.hopecitychurch.tv.
She's already home, and so things are going probably a little quicker than they thought in terms of recoveries and stuff. So they're doing good. And send their love this morning. We'll see Roger back next week, I think, and then the whole family back as well. And so we can do this thing together. Amen. So it's good to some clapping, just random clapping. I like random clapping. Yes. I think we brought that from Lancashire. Well, in Lancashire, that's it. That's what I'm talking about. Everything's worth celebrating. The smallest of victories, just celebrated. And so me and Lisa still live in Chorley at the moment. Okay, so, no, don't clap that. We still live in Chorley. But we're going to move over, okay, in the next four. So that's worth a clap. Good, you're getting the hang of it. Lisa mentioned we met in Nottingham. Lisa was brought up in Sale. She was born in Sale in Manchester and brought up in Chester. A lot of her growing up was in Chester, which is, you know, our 2020 vision. There's a little diagram that says where we kind of would like to see Hope City spread to. And out of Liverpool, there's Chester. So it's kind of coming round. And Lisa's able to say there that she gave her life to the Lord in Liverpool. It's incredible. I've been shopping in Liverpool a couple of times. That's my history with Liverpool. It's my connection. But we met in Nottingham. I was born and raised in Nottingham, and was raised a Catholic, not a like hardcore Catholic, but we went to Catholic Mass most of my growing up, and I went to Catholic school as well, right through sixth form, and gave my life to the Lord when I was 19 years old. Anyone 19? You're not 19 now, though. That's when you did it. Okay, good. And I was 19 years old, and you'll hear more of our story as we go on. I'm not going to throw it all out there in one go. I've got a lot of sermons to cover, so I'll keep some story back for later. But we moved to Chorley 10 years ago after we'd been done Bible college, ministry training, all that kind of stuff around and about. And we moved to Chorley just over 10 years ago to work with a church there called New Life Church, where they'd said, can you send someone up to help mainly? So it just slotted in with what God was doing in our lives. So we moved up to Chorley 10 years ago. And the thing for me is I've always kind of at heart been a bit of a city boy. I've loved going back home to Nottingham, and it's not the biggest of cities, but I love the buzz. I love where things are happening. I love where where people are, where you go out and it's not like the streets are deserted, but there's people around doing life, there's stuff going on, and I've had that in my heart, you know, cities. But it's best to kind of stick in where God's put you. It's best to recognize that the place that God puts us is a good place, right? And it's not actually about just the environment. It's about the people that God puts around you. Because wherever you go, there's people to love and people to serve. And so for me, going to Chorley was kind of about that, because it wasn't about, well, this is the kind of environment I want to be in. But hey, there's people here to love. There's a church to serve. There's a kingdom to extend. So let's do this thing. But part of our story is, and some of you core guys and people who maybe were at the Wednesday Night Live we did a little while ago will have heard part of this. But in the autumn, last autumn, I just started to get kind of a stirring in my heart, if I can talk about it spiritually like that. But just to like, I just said to Lisa, I really want to be in a city. I really want to be in a city. I wasn't like bored with Chorley. Like, no, it's not like I want to get out of Chorley. It was just I want to be in a city. There's just, it's in there. And we thought about it and talked about it. I said, well, we thought maybe you'll go and talk to Pastor Dave Gilpin about it. But then I thought, well, that just sounds like I'm going to go and just give a hint, doesn't it? And then maybe all that will do will make me more frustrated, open up frustration in my heart, and make me fed up with where I was. But I didn't want to do that. So we kind of just put it, you know, you put it to one side, but it was there and very real. And so then just a couple of months later, when Pastor Dave is sitting in front of me and Lisa saying, well, how about you guys going to Liverpool? Oh, really? Because there's just no, there's just sometimes you look and go, there's no way, how are we going to, there's something in my heart, but there seems to be no way to do that. It's impossible. I'm bringing the French. It's impossible, right? Monstieu. So for me, this day is a day of destiny, right? This isn't just, oh God, well, what a lovely opportunity. Let's go and do it. This is answered prayer. This is heart's desires. This is a day of destiny. I'm ready. I'm ready. You ready? I'm ready. May I put it to you that I am ready to rumble. All right? May I? I thank you. I'm ready to rumble. I'm ready to rumble into the city of Liverpool. Hey, I'm ready to hear the rumbling of God, you know, the sound of God, the sound of Jesus Christ being exalted in our city, the rumble of the sound of people finding Jesus Christ and beginning to impact this city like never before. I'm ready to hear the sound, the rumblings of God as he moves in an incredible way in your world, through your world, through your life. There's a sound to your life that needs to impact your world. And I'm here for that. And I'm here to be part of that with you and with all of us, and to hit this city like never before. I think you better turn to somebody and say, let's get ready to rumble. Oh, it's good. Oh, I'm so happy. So when there's a change of leadership, and the cool thing about Hope City Church is, so there's a change of person in this position, but it's not like there's a change of church. It's not like, and you may have been in situations like that where there's a new leader and it's like, well, it's a new church, you know, but this isn't a new church. It's the same church with the same vision. There's some moving of positions, but it's the same thing going in the same direction. But sometimes in these kind of situations, we find, and it's maybe a little cliched, but the book of Joshua is quite a good book, the book that's used quite a lot in these times, because it's the book where Moses handed over to Joshua in order to take things forward and to enter into the promised land. And it the book of Joshua starts with a slightly, maybe slightly depressing picture in it, in as much as God says to Joshua, Moses, my servant. Servant is dead. He's probably aware of that. But Moses, my servant, is dead. It's over to you now, Buckaroo. And I've, in my story that you'll hear more of in future preachers, right? I've had a situation like that where actually I came into leadership. Me and Lisa came into church leadership when the pastor of the church we were in Chorley, had a heart attack and went to be with the Lord. We had a literal, you know, God had to say, Dave, he's gone now. It's over to you. And that's quite a situation to be dealing with, right? So I'm quite thankful that this is not a Moses, my servant is dead. This is a Roger, my servant has slightly changed the focus of his life. It's easier to work through. And as a congregation, it's easier for us to deal with, right? We can handle that. But here we go. We're in Joshua 1 and verse 11. And Joshua's ready. Joshua's heard from God. This is the time. We're going over. We're going in. We're going through. And it says in verse 11, Joshua commanded the officers of Israel, go through the camp and tell the people to get their provisions ready. In 3 days, you will cross the Jordan River and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you. I love that God gives you a future. God gives you a destiny. God gives you a purpose. Some of us we struggle our way into tomorrow. We struggle our way into our futures. But the truth is this, that God gives you. God gives you a future. It's the land. Your tomorrow is the land that God is giving you. It's not the land that you have to fight and struggle and figure it all out. What you first need to know is that God is giving you your future. God is giving you your destiny. God is giving you the answer to the promises he's made. How will it come to pass? Well, number one, God is giving you a future. There is destiny in front of you. There are opportunities in front of you. There is promise right in front of you. There's always a time, there's always a call in our lives to get ourselves ready for what comes next. There's always, no matter what, if you're in a good day or a bad day, there is a call to get ready. It doesn't matter if the people in the camp were fed up or if the people in the camp were excited to be there. It doesn't matter. There is always a call. Get up, get ready. There's time to go into the next phase, the next stage of what God has for you. It's not just about us as a church. It's about you as an individual. There is more. There is more that God wants to give you. But there's a call to get yourself up and get ready, to go with expectation into tomorrow. I like this. We need to get our provisions ready. Just go through, get your provisions ready. Tell everyone, get ready. If you're ready, then you gather your stuff. You get your provisions. The provision in our lives is the provision of the Word of God. If we're going to see what God wants us to see, then in our lives have got to be fed by the Word of God. We're not nibblers. Not, you know, snacker. Okay, snacks are good, right? But if you don't get the good meals, we're supposed to live off this thing, right? I like chocolate digestives, but I can't live off them. I can't live off them. I can't live off little bite-sized chocolates. I got to eat a meal. I've got to get your provision. Your provision for the next phase and the next stage and the going forward is the Word of God. It will feed you. It will sustain you. It will give you what you need. The provisions we have is the promises of God. Hopes you live for. You got some promises you've been believing for in your life. You got some promises that you need to. They're your provisions. They're the things that you remind yourself and the things that propel you forward into your future. I remember this in. Recently, when talking to Pastor Dave about the possibility of us doing Liverpool, and we're having a conversation, and I said, and it stood out to me as I said it. I just said, well, Dave, I've never refused an opportunity that God has put in front of me. And I thought, is that true? I don't know. It sounds like a bold statement. I have never refused. It's basically true, mate. But that's the heart we want to have, right? To not refuse the opportunities that God's got in front of us. Because for every single one of us, there is opportunity. Opportunity is in front of us. I love that. But where the decision to not refuse what God had put in front of me, it's taken me all over the place. It's taken me from Nottingham to Horsham. Anyone been to Horsham in Sussex? Born there. So good. Let's go through the list. Right. Well, you're not to say that to this one. Horsham to Thwing in Yorkshire. Anyone been to Thwing in Yorkshire? Who's born there? Phil's, no. To tiny place. Not refusing an opportunity. Sent me. I'm going, I'm a city boy. Go to Thwing. There's no one there. Because you just want everything to look like what you want it to look like. But sometimes you're going in the right direction, but it looks less and less like what it's supposed to look like. From Thwing to Chorley. From Chorley to taking on the church. Taking on the church and building up, you know, getting a sense of vision and purpose. To laying down that vision so that we could become part of Hope City Church, to join with something bigger than ourselves, to lay that God, I'd worked 8 months on the vision and the statement and the plan. I just finished telling the church. We'd laid it out. 1 week later, Chris Denham's, hey, would you like to become part of Hope City? From Hope City in Chorley, now into Liverpool, now into the city, now into something. I'm like, God, this is, wow. There's days where you go, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. Because you see days where the just like the answer to things that God's put in your heart. Great to have Jenny and Dave here last Sunday, just prophesying, talking about entering into our inheritance of, and for me, our inheritance is becoming that city influencing church that you've been dreaming of, that you've been building towards. I think Night of Honor was incredible last year, and just as a sign of, wow, breaking into the city. I think we've got to enter our inheritance of becoming the city-influencing church that we've been dreaming of. We're seeing hundreds and thousands, let's put it out there, of lives transformed, becoming fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Our inheritance is seeing people rescued from self-destructive lives, from the chains of abuse, from the crushing influence of a self-centered culture that completely confuses people's sense of identity, to see them brought into an environment of positive change, of family, of genuine love, the kingdom of God, where people can discover who they were always meant to be. That's our inheritance, Hope City Church. Let's get ready to rumble. It's a good song. There's a destiny to take hold of that's very real, very tangible, and it's about you and me stepping further into the great things he's planned for us. And it's about our city being transformed by the good news of Jesus Christ. Is that all right? Does that sound reasonable? So Joshua and the guys, we'll go into Joshua chapter 6. They get over the river, and the first thing they come up, the first city, the first place they come to is the city of Jericho. And maybe some of you know the story about the walls of Jericho, but we're going to just look at a few verses in the next few minutes about how God instructs Joshua, how he instructs him in how to deal with what is in front of them, how they really go begin to take hold of the inheritance and the promise that's in front of them. And they face this first city, the city of Jericho. And this for us right now, I just said, this is for those who are about to rumble, right? These are instructions. These are keys. These are things that we need to know if we're about to rumble into our future, rumble into this city, rumble into your world in a brand new way. First thing I want you to realize is that the gates to your destiny may look shut to you, but they sure seem open to God. The gates to your destiny, the gates to our destiny may look shut to you or to us, but they sure seem open to God. In Joshua 6 verses 1 and 2, it says this: the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in, but the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors. The gates look shut, no one's allowed in or out, but God says, I've given it to you. God's perspective on your future, God's perspective on your promise, God's perspective on what you're believing for is sometimes very different to what we see in front of us in a perspective. And we're going, God, will you do it? God, will you do it? God, will you do it? When he's saying, I've already given it you. It's kind of sorted. You just need to believe it and step into it. Don't not pray. But sometimes a prayer out of a desperation that things are just, they're closed. But God's like, I've given you. I think God's given us our future. God has given us. This is not time just to sweat and strive and God, would you? Maybe. It's not time for that. He's saying, I've given you Hope City. I've given you. I've given you the city. I've given you the future. The doors to your progress might look shut to you. They might look shut. You might think, well, the odds seem to be insurmountable. The circumstances seem to be presenting only hindrance. I can't see the way forward in that situation, in that family thing or that job thing or that life thing. The stuff in my own life, it's an impossibility for me to overcome those things and step into what they're talking about in church. They talk about a positive future. They talk about freedom, but it seems impossible. Maybe the doors seem shut to you. But the truth is that to God, they look very open. He's given you your future. I realized just reading that. The enemy was as afraid of the people of God coming in. And we don't big up the devil, right? We don't give him like much airtime. But there's an enemy of our lives and our future. There's an enemy who's scared of you entering into your inheritance. So he would like you to think it shut up. He would like you to think it will be very, very difficult for you to enter your future. You've got an enemy. He's just full of intimidation, but he's scared because of stepping into our future. It doesn't just unlock us, but it unlocks other people. It sets other people free. It changes a city. It's part of changing a nation and the nations. He's scared. So if you're feeling intimidated, if you're feeling like, well, it feels shut up. I don't know if I can really step into my future. Realize this. The enemy's just scared. God's given you. God has given you your future. It's assured. It's assured in God. Amen? Sometimes the doors look shut, but they seem open to God. Let's do this now. I don't know how many of you know about this, but we're in this building, right? And this is good that we've got this, right? This is nice. Okay? It's good when the lights work and everything. We like that. It's great to be able to meet here. Awesome. It's a great base, been a great base of operations. But I'd picked up from Roger over time that he was slightly frustrated because we're called to be a city church. And if you look at the map, we look like, you go, oh, look, quite central. But when you get here, you realize, no, we're not quite in the city. And it's not, we can't quite be viewed in the way that we want to be viewed as a city church. Because where we are is very much in a particular area. So we've never quite been able to be seen as a city church that we want to be. And maybe even to hit, students and young adults and that area of things that we would like to be hitting as well as families and every generation. But we realize there's a frustration that we've never been able to quite become who we want to be and begin to break out in the way that we really, really want to break out. And there's a kind of contract lease on this place and it's kind of coming up. And so we've had to make some decisions. And when I was beginning to come up here, Phil and Roger and others, I think, had been going around looking around everywhere, looking for a building, looking for somewhere to meet on a Sunday that's like a step forward and not just takes us back to a nomadic lifestyle. And it's, so I was coming in, I'm like, well, gosh, I don't really want this to be the big thing that I've got to kind of deal with. Here's Roger going, hey, we just need a building. Okay. Because we know the clock's ticking on this place. So we want to move forward and break into the city and see impossible things open up and see things that we shut. And we looked at one place, right, that looked great. But they said, no, it's not going to be possible. They were like, this looks really good. It looks good to us. And it feels good to you and the Holy Spirit. But to them, and they're like, no. This is not going to work. There's no way we can do it. And sometimes that's how it is in life. It feels like, well, that's it then. And we resign ourselves. But it's not always right to resign yourself. You go, hang on a cotton picking minute. There's some inheritance. There's some inheritance that's mine. There's some promise to fulfill. There's something that's necessary for me to step forward into my future. I'm not taking no for an answer. I'm not taking limitation for an answer. I'm not taking the enemy's intimidation for an answer. I'm not taking my own feelings of inadequacy as a limitation. But in this situation, we were like, no, we can't just sit back and take that as the answer. Let's make another phone call. Let's have another meeting. So we've had some meetings, and where things seem to be shut up, I had in my heart about what I'm about to tell you, I was like, well, this is the only thing I can see. This just seems to be, has to be the way, because there's nothing else presenting itself. And God likes to present the answer, right? It's not pin the tail on the donkey with God. It's blindfolded if we can maybe find the way forward. God wants it to be clear. God wants it to be clear. So we can announce, right? I love this. So we can announce, right? Hope City Church is about to break into the city. We are about to find ourselves positioned on a Sunday morning. Like, you walk out the door of where I'm going to tell you, and you're like, oh, Liverpool One! Oh, a massive car park! Oh, the train station! Oh, the center of Liverpool! Oh, the center of community! Oh, the center of arts and all kinds of stuff! Stuff! From September, Hope City, Liverpool, we will be meeting on a Sunday morning at the incredible venue that is the Epstein Theater, right in the heart. Right in the heart of the city, at the heart of the city. Oh, that's nice. You can scroll through a few photographs and... It's an incredible place. It's been refurbished, and they're working on it. It's a listed building, but it's incredible. Now, Hope City Liverpool has had some journeyings, right, into the city on Sundays in maybe a couple of years ago with the Black E, and it was like, well, it was a nice venue in one level, but it was hard to work with on other levels. We've found that the people there have become very warm to us, very open. Very friendly. I've been surprised by some of the conversations about some of the details. Have been very, very friendly, very warm, very open to us being there. It's a, how many seats is it? 400? 400 seats, right? So there's some on the balcony down there. There's 150 seats in the middle section. So that's great. So we can go in there and not feel like we're going to be rattling around any kind of building. And by the time we get to being there, we will have got word out anyway. So we're going to be having an awesome time there. And is there more photographs? Have I missed them? Oh, there they go. And so what there is there is they'll provide, there's lighting, there's sound equipment's in there. We are not going to be lugging stuff around, all that kind of stuff. Woohoo! There is there's storage space, there's all that kind of stuff. There's rooms for the children. There's a great bar area where we can do connections and all that. A bar, woo! And just incredible. That it looks better than that picture. So the lighting and the sound is awesome, and they're providing a technician to help set things up, run things. There'll be a couple of staff members, but it will feel very much like our venue on the day. But we need to treat it like it's a privilege to be there. But it's going to position us right at the heart. These guys who own the place, who are running the place, are very much at the heart of community stuff, connected to the whole Sound City things and all that kind of stuff. It positions us brilliantly for students and young adults. Also, it's car parking and training, all those kind of things are around. It's an easy venue to get to, and then when you're out of it, you're out into Liverpool One, you're out into restaurants and foodie places and all kinds of cool stuff that will just, I think, will be a transformative for us. This is about entering the promise. This is entering the promise. I've my first act. As lead pastor of Hope City Liverpool, it's to sign the document, sign the contract that gets us our first 6 months in there. Brilliant. Even we can stay in there through Christmas and They're doing pantomimes and stuff like that. You just have to, like, work your way around the dwarves and the stuff. No, I'm joking. But it's going to be awesome, incredible, right? Awesome and incredible. I love it. Because the enemy's afraid of us taking hold of our destiny. And let me tell you, in that, right, there's a moment where you could have gone, well, it's impossible then. Okay, forget it. Let's look somewhere else. Let's just do that. You could do it. And I realized, like, God, what if we didn't make that phone call? What if we thought, oh, they said we can't do it. What if we just left it? We still go, we need a building, Dave. What if actually you stepping into your own future is just, you got to realize, well, God, I thought it was impossible. God, I thought actually me overcoming what I need to overcome is impossible. I thought it was impossible. No, you just need to make the phone call, you know. You just need to take hold of that word again in your life afresh. You know, I've had people around my life who've taught them the word, they've taken hold of the word, and then because they've had setbacks, they're like, it's not worked for me. I'm like, gosh, no, it doesn't, just, it's not that, let's give it a go and then give up. It's the thing, it's the hammer that we keep hitting with. You know, it's the thing, we keep going. We keep hitting this thing. We hold on to the word of God, because then you look back and go, oh my gosh, I have been transformed. Oh my gosh, I have stepped into that plan and that purpose and that destiny that you have. Don't give up. Don't be intimidated. Don't think it's impossible. I love that. It says there that there's, you know, I've given you Jericho, its kings and all its strong warriors. There might be spiritual kings, if you like, in our city. You know, the Bible talks about the powers and principalities and all that kind of stuff. Again, that I don't spend a lot of time thinking about, because they're all defeated. I spend a lot of time on the, what is the spiritual map over Liverpool? What demonic forces? I don't know. Some people spend a lot of time on that stuff. I don't, because they're all defeated. I don't know. They're all beaten anyway. You know? But the spiritual kings and the warriors, the issues, the strongholds, the stuff that would hold people back from this city from receiving Christ, and that would hold people back from really allowing, you know, the kingdom to enter in. All those things are defeated. They're already defeated. They just put up a thing of, no, you can't come in. No, you can't, because they're scared. But we're going in. Further than we've gone before. We've come so far. You've come long way already without me and Lisa being around, right? So it's not like you need us, but together, right, we go forward into the next phase, the next thing. Ephesians 1:19-21 says, I pray that you will understand the incredible, say incredible, the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. It's the same. Say the same. The same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realm. That's the incredible greatness of God's power for you if you believe him. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, not just brought him back, hello, I'm back, but then raised, seated him in the heavenly places far above all rule. That's the power that God has for you to enter into your future. It says now, say now. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else. We don't yet fully understand just how great God's power is for us. But my prayer is that you and me together, we would understand it more and more, that we experience it more and more, the greatness of God's power over every power and every principality in this city and in your life. I love that it says, and anything else. So whatever you're facing, whatever obstacles, whatever issues, whatever stuff there is, Jesus Christ is already over that. And the power that he has is your power as you believe him. You've got the power to overcome. You've got the power to step into your future. Wow. We've got to look with different eyes on our life and our circumstances. You might think the door's shut to a brighter day because the job market's bad, or you feel that you've created the situation you're in, so why would anything change? You might feel that there are people literally against you, or it just seems absolutely impossible to move forward. Well, God's working above every power, above every leader, every ruler, every authority, or anything else. I just want to believe him. God, give me an understanding that your power is working, that your power is happening, that your power is, it's available, that God, we can step into. You have defeated everything that would set itself up against me and against you and against us. Jesus defeated it. What have we got to worry about? What have we got to fear? Let's do this. For those about to rumble, right? God's completely creative with his planning and with his timing. We'll rattle through these because I know time's short and I don't want to overextend our time, right? But I love it when I can solve a problem. Do you love it when you solve a problem? I don't like problems, but I like solving them. There's a program on TV called The Imagination Movers. I've just thought of it. It's a little, Emma quite likes it. But they don't have problems, right? They don't have problems. They have idea emergencies. I quite like that. Why don't we rewrite all our problems, right? All the obstacles. Why don't we rewrite them as idea emergencies, right? What we need now is an idea. Let's not think about this as just a big problem. Let's recreate it as an idea emergency. There was an idea emergency for the people of Israel there. It's like, what are we going to do? Because you and me, if we were faced with the walls of Jericho, well, we'd get the battering ram, wouldn't we? Let's get the battering ram. Let's get those massive long ladders that you see in Lord of the Rings that you get, and they just go up against the walls. Let's get the catapults with the burning rocks and throw them in. Let's do that. But I've found that God is very creative in his problem solving, and it blows my mind most of the time. Because he says to Joshua, he says in verse 3 and 4 of chapter 6, he says, you and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. If there was anyone doubting Joshua's leadership, that was a good, what are we going to do? We are going to march around and around. And we shall wave the sword. No. We shall knock on the wall. No. We'll march around. We'll march once. On Monday, we're going to march around once. And then we'll go back. Have lunch. Okay. And then the fight's it. No. Then hang out with your family. Right? And then what are we going to do Tuesday? We are going to march around the city. And then the fight. No. Then we're going to have a barbecue. We're going to have a kind of family get together. It's like, what? What are you talking about? He says in verse 4, do that for 6 days. And then seven priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. And on the seventh day, you're going to march around the town 7 times with the priests blowing the horns. I mean, the root that God takes us on to get to our destiny, to get to the fulfillment of what he has for us, it often doesn't look like what we would have imagined or what we would have planned. And you can't assume you're missing the things God has for you because certain things aren't happening in the way you think they should. Because we do that. We look at our lives and say, it's not happening how I wanted it to happen. It's not working in the way I wanted it to work. Therefore, I must be missing it, or it's not happening, or it's happening for them, but it's not happening for me. Actually, sometimes you're very mundane. Day to day, God's happening. If you guys hadn't done the last season, we wouldn't be able to have the next season. If you haven't done days where maybe some days there's frustrating days, if you haven't done those days, you're not going to get to the days of the walls coming down, of cities opening up, of promises being fulfilled. You've got to do, sometimes you've got to do the thing that looks like, well, it looks like nothing's happening. The obvious route for becoming pastors of Hope City, Liverpool, was maybe for us to move to Sheffield when we were younger. You know, be raised in the house there, do serving, go through the ranks of serving. That's me going through the ranks of serving. It's my illustrative movement. I don't know, have Dave spot us. Wow, those guys are really great at serving. Let's give them something else to do. right? Get alongside, become assistant pastors. I don't know. No, but what did we do? We walked round and around Chorley Market. Just some nice like sausages there. Just walking around and around Chorley, just doing that. And then God said, here it is. I don't devalue your day that looks like you're just walking around. Just what? Not that much happening. Don't devalue. Because if you don't do that, if you don't do that with faith, then you're not going to answer the things that God has for you. There's the many days that are days of the walking around. Not every day is the day of the breakthrough. Not every day is the day of the promotion. Not every day is the day the Epstein Theater opens up. Not every day is the day your family gets saved. Not every day is the day that your friends come to church or the breakthrough happens or you really finally realize that you've overcome that issue. Not every day is that day. But if you don't do the days when you're marching around, if you don't do the days that sometimes seem mundane, if you don't apply faith in those times that actually something is about to happen, something is going to happen. If you don't do it in that way, then we'll never see. Don't say, oh, I've walked around this flipping wall 5 times already. I quit it, Joshua. Because some of us, we can do that. But you're not doing that now, right? You're going to take up your provisions. You're going to take up the word of God. You're going to take up your promise. And you're going to walk. You know, so I'm walking around my day. I'm walking around where God has put me. I'm doing the things. I'm just doing the things that are in front of me right now with faith and expectation. With faith and expectation. Whoever's doing the keys or playing guitars, you can come up and we'll wrap that up. While you keep moving, it's actually happening. You may know the story of Daniel, a prophet in the Old Testament, who was believing for the people to be freed from exile. And he's prayed and he's seeking God and he's like, why is nothing happening? Why is nothing changing? And an angel turns up. It'd be nice sometimes, wouldn't it, if an angel actually turned up and just said, this is what's going down right now. I'm like, you'd be encouraged, right? But you don't need an angel. Because I'm here. Hey! Don't need an angel because someone's telling you. Because someone's here to tell you. Right? You're not on your own, you know, in a far off land where the only one who seems to be going for it. You're a part of a great church. You're part of a great body of people. So I'm here and the word of God's available and there's people around your life. But the angel turns up to Daniel and he says, don't be afraid, Daniel. Because when things aren't changing, sometimes fear grows that it's never going to change. When you haven't seen someone, you know, come to know Jesus out of your life for a long time, you think it's never going to happen. When you've not overcome that thing in your life over a long period of time, you think, well, you just fear that it's never going to change. When you've not met that person, you think, well, I'm never going to meet them. Things are never going to change. But the angel says, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before God, your request has been heard in heaven. I've come in answer to your prayer. Nothing seemed to be happening for Daniel, but from that day, the first day, he said, I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to pray. The first day, something started to happen. Angels were active over your life. Can you imagine? The things you've been praying about, things you've been hoping for, angels in action already from the first day. And maybe this is a time, like you said, go through the camp, get your provision ready. This is a first day moment for you. A first day of like saying, do you know what? I need to expect that things are going to change. I need to expect that I'm going to get the breakthroughs I need to believe that those things that I've kind of started to think are never going to happen, I need to actually stir myself. He says, get the leaders going through the camp. Go through the camp and tell them, get your provisions ready. In 3 days, we are going through. This is happening, you know. I want myself and I want every single one of us to grow in our faith and expectation in these days, that we become those who go through the camp as ambassadors of the buzz of God and of what God is about to do, and say, you know, come on. Not just about us as a church, but that gives us an incredible thing to join in with and be part of. Because I know if I'm part of something, then I'm happy. You know, if I'm not part of it, then my own issues and my own stuff becomes so much bigger than it needs to be. The impossibilities seem so much more impossible when I'm on my own. But it wasn't about them being on their own. It was hard for Daniel because he was on his own, and he needed to say, there's a load of angels, we're with you. But you're not on your own in need of angels. You're here to be part of the body of Christ. And the word's going out. Go amongst the camp. Tell everybody, get your provisions ready. 3 days. We're going. We've got 3 days to prepare. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. So I'm saying to you, you know, be part of the camp. Be part of the camp. Because my last point would have been this. Just simply, everybody rumble. Everybody. Everybody. It says, when you hear the priest give one long blast on the ram's horns, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Have you ever been? I don't know. It happens in church, doesn't it? Let's give a shout of praise to God. Yeah. It sounds like a shout. Yay. That's not as loud as you can, is it? We don't often give as loud as we can. Yay. Slightly embarrassed. Don't understand. What if I'm the only one who goes like that? Everyone, shout as loud as you can. Then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into the town. God, would you open up? God, we want to charge straight in. God, I know we've seen stuff already, but there's another level. There's a new day. There's a new openness in this city, God, that we just prophesy and declare right now. A new openness for all of us to charge in, Lord, into this city and into this community and into influence, Lord God. And that we'd all, as one, charge into our own worlds. You know, there's a shout. There's a sound of your life. And your life needs to shout as loud as it can. It's not about suddenly changing your personality, but by believing God, joining with what He's doing. And you know, our vision is simple. Our faith and food and friendship. To make the sound of your life heard is not difficult. But shout loudly in your world. Shout loudly about the grace of God. Just let the grace of God be evident as you again take up your provisions of the word of God and faith in Him. Come, every eye closed here right now. Why don't we all stand? You've been sitting for a while. Why don't you just stand? I think that helps us just respond to God right now. And we'll wrap this up in a couple of minutes. But I just lift your hands to God where you are right now. This is the sound is going out through the camp. Get your provisions ready. Just take up your worship. Take up your promise. You might think, I've got no promises. Know this, that God has a plan and a purpose for your life, to give you a hope and a future, to prosper you and not to harm you. Just take hold of that right now, if that's the only provision you've got, if that's the only bit of morsel that you can have this morning, just have it. That's yours. God's got a plan and a purpose. to prosper you, not to harm you. He's working it out. He's, you're called to be part of it. And maybe if you're someone here today who's, and you think, you know what, I really, really, really need to see breakthrough. I got some things, some obstacles in my life, some real and practical things, or maybe just some stuff in your own heart and your own life. You're like, this is just holding me back. And you're saying, God, I really want that breakthrough. God, I really want that wall to come down. I really want to see, Lord, myself in a place of victory. If you know that you just need a change of perspective right now in some area of your life, why don't you just lift your hands to Him right now? Say, God, just open my eyes to the reality of how things are. If you're saying, I've just been seeing things as over or finished or impossible, just lift your hands to Him right now. It's great. His hand's going up. Spirit of God, Spirit of God, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, the one who leads us into all the truth. Will you speak into every single life where the hands are up and every one of us, Lord God. Holy Spirit, will you give us a new perspective on our lives where we thought we could never overcome, Lord God. Thank you that you lead us into freedom. We've got no part to play in the things of God. We got nothing. We're kind of useless. We make up the numbers. But God, I thank you that you encourage every single person that they're part of the camp. They're part of the people. They're part of those that are going to charge in together. Together, you're valued. You're part of it. You're not on your own in some far distant city needing an angel. You're part of the body of Christ. Pray that we would all see that we're part of it. Last thing I want to do. You know, if you don't know Jesus Christ, if you're saying, I don't know this God you're talking about, but there's, maybe you've been on a process, a journey, you've been finding out, you've been coming along to church, I don't know many of you. But you're saying, I'd like to say yes to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who defeated every enemy in your life. He's made it possible for you to live in freedom from the stuff that holds you back. From your habits and your behaviors, from the hurts and the pains. Jesus died on a very real cross, a very real death for everything, for every sin, everything that you regret, everything that would separate you from God has been paid for on the cross of Jesus Christ. There's nothing else to do except put your faith in Jesus. To have a very real relationship with you, become very, very, very real in your life, to lead you into something incredible that He's planned from long, long ago, and for you to become everything that you were born to be. And I'm going to pray a simple prayer, and everyone's going to pray after me, but it's just a prayer that says, I want to say yes to Jesus. I want Him in my life and central to my life, and I want the life that He's made available. And this is just your opportunity. You can pray along with us. Maybe you've known God and you've walked away, and this is a moment to say, I'm coming right back. It's a simple prayer, but it can just connect you with destiny. Are you ready to pray with me? Okay, everybody, pray these words after me. Father God, let's do this little more conviction. Father God, I thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you that He died for me. And in that death, He defeated every enemy that would set itself up against me inheriting my future. Forgive me for just walking my own way. I want to know what your way is, and I want to walk in it. Free me from all my stuff. Free me from my limitations. Clean me on the inside. And lead me into my new life. Fill me with your Spirit. This is a brand new day. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. If that's you this morning, praying that prayer, pray like that for the first time, or maybe a recommitment, saying, I'm coming back to this truth. Jesus loves me, that Jesus died for me, that I'm forgiven. If that's you today, why don't you just raise your hand just so I can see it. Just lift your hand right now. I miss this moment. Is there a hand over there? Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else this morning? I don't mind if there's no one, but we just got to do this because there's going to be many, many more from your life, from your world, from your influence, and many, many more in this city in the days ahead. Let's just lift our hands. Let's just pray. Let's take 30 seconds. Let's pray for this city. Let's pray for this next level of breakthrough. Just lift your voice right now. Call on the name of Jesus. God, we thank you. We thank you, God. Father, for our future, for our inheritance opened up in front of us. Lord God, we thank you for this new day and this new phase. Lord God, we praise you. We thank you. Almighty God, Almighty God.
Thanks for joining us for another great message preached live from Hope City Church, Liverpool. For more information about Hope City Church, check out our website at www.hopecitychurch.tv.